Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Weight loss solutions are not one size fits all. Hers makes it simpler to get started and stick with a weight loss plan backed by expert guided online care that puts your weight loss goals first. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you. With 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
All right. Well, welcome to another episode here of the Viking Press Pass, and joining me today, I mean, a man that needs very little introduction, I think, from the Auggie baseball world, but one of the greats, Harrison Buschel. So, Harry, thanks for fitting me in on your off night.
Thanks. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure.
Absolutely. Well, let's start with dinner tonight. The team was rewarded with a dinner coming off that weekend series sweep, over Utah. Tell me a little bit about dinner. Like, where'd you guys go? What'd you guys have?
Yeah, so whenever we win a series down here in Houston, we're rewarded with a nice steak dinner. So all the team eats at this restaurant kind of out by our coach's house. It's 15, 20 minutes from here. And we go sit down and kind of have a little personal pizzas as appetizers. And then they bring out steaks and mashed potatoes. And we just kind of all eat together, have a nice team meal, and then kind of go and enjoy the rest of our night however we see fit. So, it's a nice way. We always play for stakes on the weekends. So, good incentive.
That's a great incentive. So, what kind of steak did you go with? I mean, how do you like it cooked? Like, what were some of your sides?
Ooh, it's not really cooked to order there, but they just bring them out. We all kind of agree medium rare, I think, is a pretty common consensus. So, that's what we go with, and kind of all the waiters, we kind of have a private room back in the back of the restaurant, so just bring them out on private plates, and then lots of mashed potatoes. Mashed potatoes are are my favorite, so
I like it
with every bite.
Absolutely, no, that's awesome. How many people are on that staff that go to that dinner, do you think?
Ooh. We probably have 35 to 40 on our team, and pretty much everyone shows up for a free steak and free dinner. So, I don't want to see the bill at the end, but we come and eat the steaks and then leave that for the coach. We get the win for him, and then he gets up the bill there. So it's a good trade-off.
I'm sure, University of Houston, I'm sure they can fit that bill. So probably not too worried about that.
Absolutely. Anything for a
sweep. Absolutely, man. Sometimes that's the best way. It's good motivation, great steak dinner. I'd do a lot of things for a good steak dinner. So now this is your first year. What's that?
I said good steak dinner is hard to beat.
Oh man, it is. It is. So especially like good, like Texas beef. So, I mean, it's not a bad cut, coming down from Houston. So, now, So this is your first year, you know, down at Houston, you know, pitching for the Cougars. And, you know, let's just kind of start broadly, like, program as a whole. You know, how has your experience been just, you know, in your first year, you know, participating in the Houston program?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's been great. You know, a lot of great teammates obviously coming in. You know, I didn't really know anyone, so I got paired up. The team kind of put me together with three other guys from the team. So we got a guy from Florida, a guy from St. Louis, and a guy from Alabama that I'm living with down here. And I just got super lucky with my roommates, you know, have a great relationship with all them. And then coming in this year at Houston, we have more transfers than returners. So this team down here is pretty much all new this year. So that kind of made it an interesting dynamic this fall coming in. You know, everyone kind of meeting and meeting each other, but, you know, it feels like we've known each other forever now. Like the guys, the team chemistry down here is great. You know, we really fit in together, and, you know, you spend that much time with people, you really get to know them. So that dynamic has been great.
How has the travel schedule been, you know, compared to Division III? I mean, what is that kind of process been like, and just kind of managing that? I know you're, you know, you're getting your master's, but I mean, how's that travel schedule just been for you?
It's for sure a lot busier in terms of travel. You know, D3 was a 40 game schedule, D1's a 60 game regular season, so we have 20 more games. So to fit those in is busy. And then a lot of the games, you know, it's a lot farther distance between the school, so you know, we kicked off our schedule, the second week we were on the road. And so Tuesday we left and went and played at the University of Texas in Austin. Wednesday that week we played Oregon State kind of around Austin. So we left Tuesday morning, and then that Thursday we left and went to Cal, out in San Francisco, played there Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Sunday afternoon. You know, once that game was wrapped up, hopped back on a flight and flew back to Houston. So, you know, we left Tuesday morning, didn't get back till Sunday night at 3 a.m. And then, you know, it's lift again on Monday. So the travel for sure is a little bit more tedious, you know, but we also, they accommodate. We get a little bit more food. And so it's, you know, as long as you're taking care of your body, nothing that's too hard to handle.
Yeah. Now, you know, when you were looking at, you know, Houston, you know, what is it that really kind of drew you to that school and that program?
Mm-hmm. I wanted to look kind of south. I like the warm weather, pitching in the warmth, you know, pitched to Doggy for 3 years in the snow and the cold. And, you know, I could probably count on one hand the number of times at Augie, you know, we got a pitch in short sleeves at a home game. You know, it's even late in the season up in Illinois, it's still pretty chilly. So I wanted to look down south. So I looked at a couple other schools, and, you know, Houston was very adamant with the recruiting for me. You know, they had constant contact and, you know, presented me with a very, very good offer. So came down and visited and liked everything, and just kind of felt like home, and so ended up coming down here.
Yeah, it's funny you talk about the weather. Like our home game this year was like, I don't know, mid-70s, upper-70s, super nice. You know, everything was packed, you know, inside of you know, Swanson Stadium there at Brunner Field. But this last game on Saturday, you know, it was you know, senior day doubleheader against Elmhurst. People were in, I mean, they had blankets, they were in coats. It was like, by the time it was, you know, done, it was like 50 degrees, you know, and it had a nice 10 mile an hour wind. So it felt like it was probably like, you know, upper 40s. Yeah, it's completely opposite from pitching in super nice weather. And it felt like every year it was like 13 to 30 mile an hour winds. It's like we never had a non-windy day, it felt like, this year.
Yeah, so you got that fall spring with that couple 70 degree days, and then right back down to the 40s. And you know, down here, even I got back in January and I could go outside. I was golfing and, you know, shorts and a t-shirt. I was joking with my parents, you know, the first time I put on sweatpants is when I boarded the plane to come home for Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
So, you know, I hadn't even thought about it down here. So, you know, I don't open my sweatpants drawer too often. So
absolutely. That's nice. Well, you know, what's funny is when I'm calling the games there too, from, you know, in the press box, like I like to have the window open. I like the ambiance of the game. I want to hear what, you know, the ump is calling. All the chatter from the teams, you know, just kind of helps me understand the game, what's going on a little bit more. But I think everybody in the press box hates me, you know, because I look over and they're just like freezing, and I'm just, you know, happy as a clam. Yeah. So that's all right. You know, so, you know, getting back to the Cougar program your first year, like what's really stood out to you the most just in your first year with them?
It's really the sense of pride that everyone takes in everything. You know, everyone here wants to play pro ball. Everyone here, you know, has that dream. You know, and it's a sense of pride where, you know, everyone holds each other accountable. Everyone wants to be the best. And, you know, if one person's slacking off, there's going to be a couple people on them right away. And, you know, that was something that really stood out to me at Augie too. And, it's just that team feeling. So that's something that I really enjoyed down here too.
You know, when you're going into that program, you know, you had a, you know, an amazing 23 year, obviously, you know, pitcher of the year, all American. You had the year off, you know, to recover. And then, you know, going into that first season, like, what were your expectations kind of that first year, and how has the season kind of lived up to that?
Yeah. You know, I didn't really know what to expect coming back. Obviously jumping from D3 to D1 is tough. And then coming back, you know, from an injury like that, you know, that presents challenges of its own. So definitely had some struggles, you know, here and there, but that's a game of baseball, and, you know, that's the lessons that it teaches. And so in terms of like how the season has gone, you know, there's definitely been struggles and stuff that, you know, if I could go back, you know, 4 months back to the start of the season or even start of the fall, you know, probably some things I'd do differently, but, you know, it's something you live and you learn, and, you know, still love it down here and having a great time with my teammates. So.
Now, you know, I was originally talking to you and Addison. You guys were up in Madison, and then as I was going up to that game on Friday, you know, you got the call, hey, you got to go to Houston on Wednesday. So, you know, so I didn't get a chance to see you there. You know, how was that fall just kind of preparing? I mean, you were starting to get some work, you know, in that with Madison up there, and then obviously they shut you down. Like, how did that fall, you know, kind of getting you back into, you know, shape, or, you know, as a starting pitcher or a reliever, just to get you back to that level, like what was that entire just kind of process like?
Yeah, for sure. It was kind of a weird timing for me, because I had surgery in July of 2023, and typically it's a full 12 months to get back on the mound. I kind of came back a little quicker. You know, I didn't have too many hiccups in terms of like arm pain coming back and stiffness and anything like that. So I actually got back on the mound about a month and a half early after 10 and a half months, you know, and it's something I was just trying to get back so I could, you know, get in the portal and coaches could come see and, you know, find a new home. Luckily Houston, you know, had reached out and came up to see me, you know, invited me down for a visit. So I came down here. So then getting here in the fall, you know, I got shut back down, like you said, in that summer. So 10 and a half months, I'm pitching again through, you know, for a couple weeks, got shut back down from July to August, ramped back up from August to September when we started team practice again, through for another couple weeks, and then, you know, shut back down. So the timing of it was kind of weird, and it made it tough. So I wasn't on a completely normal schedule. But, you know, just trying to still increase pitch counts and, you know, just see what we can do and continue to get better day by day.
Now, when you were coming back, was it more about you know, the velocity that you were more worried about, or was it more about like spin rate and movement with the ball coming back from like a surgery like that?
I think originally, like kind of early on in the throwing program, it was probably more like just like controlling the velocity, you know, making sure you're not, you know, trying to step too far forward at once. And, you know, taking the little baby steps coming back from Tommy John like that. And then kind of like that was more emphasis in the fall when I got here too. You know, we have all the advanced stuff. We have Edgertronic. I don't know if you heard of that. So it's this super, super slow motion camera. So you can actually see your hand coming forward, pitching, and how the seams are coming off the ball and how you're finishing and all that. So you can look at spin rate. And then we have TrackMan to, you know, look at that spin rate, spin direction, spin efficiency, the break on the ball, all that sort of stuff. So once I got here in the fall, that's where more of the emphasis was. You know, because coming back, you have to relearn to throw. And I ended up, you know, cutting the ball a little bit, which was hurting my fastball. So trying to get that back to where it was. So just kind of different timing on that in terms of focusing on.
Yeah, as I was curious on, you know, as you're coming back, like, where does your focus, you know, start to lie? And obviously it's going to be kind of both sides, you know, it's going to be both velocity, but then control and spin and all the other things, you know, movement you're putting on the ball. You know, but it's like, God, which one's a little bit more?
Trying to lose weight? It's time to try Hers. At forhers.com/foryou, you can access affordable doctor-trusted weight loss treatments tailored just for you. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
Nervous, you know, nerve-wracking doing, or once I start to do this, you know, am I going to start to feel some pain? And it's probably just more mental than anything. Like, you can have soreness and things like that, you know, it just comes with it. But now, you know, what's been like the biggest challenge just in the first year that you've faced maybe so far, you know, with the jump to Division I and playing in the Big 12?
Honestly, the biggest challenge so far, just in that jump to Division I, is honestly just understanding, you know, kind of that junior year at Augie, you know, that 2023, me and Wintrow were kind of going back and forth, and we'd have friendly bets, you know, back and forth of who can have the better start on the weekend. And, you know, I'd go game one and I'd tell him before he goes out for game two, I was like, hey, like, you know, the line's 7 innings with, you know, 10 strikeouts and no runs, like, go beat that. And then, you know, he would probably go out there and beat it. So that was a friendly competition, you know, but just understanding, you know, that, you know, 10 strikeouts isn't the expectation every time. You know, it's more searching for that weak contact and kind of finding creative ways to get guys out. So that's, you know, that's been a jump for sure. And then, you know, just seeing the name on the other jersey too, and looking down and seeing your name and playing in front of a whole crowd. I mean, so, you know, you tune that stuff out as much as you can, but it's for sure a jump, and, you know, it's something that's been super fun.
Yeah. I mean, I remember I was talking to Chase last Sunday, cause he's out in New Jersey for spring training for the Jackals. And I talked to him after he landed, and we were talking about when he went to Valpo and when he was playing Alabama and Vanderbilt and some of the others, just like, he cracks me up because he's like, he was a great Division III hitter. And he's like, I was an okay hitter at Vanderbilt or at Valpo. And, but then when I saw the guys from like Alabama hitting that weren't even on the field, he's like, I'm not even that great at baseball anymore. Yeah.
Yeah, it's for sure humbling. I mean, you know, there's guys everywhere. We had some, you know, really good ball players at Augie, you know, played some really good ones in the CCIW and throughout everywhere else. And then, you know, you get to that especially power four level up here. You see some other guys, and I mean, they're super fast. Our center fielder here at Houston, I mean, he's amazing. The amount of ground he covers, like just watching him play, is incredible. You know, we all see a ball hit from the dugout and or from the mound, and I'm like, oh well, that's the double in the gap for sure. And then all of a sudden, he's parked under it. I mean, he's one of the fastest players I've ever played with, and just, you know, watching some guys play too at this level, it's fun.
It's fun. As like you almost become a little bit of, you know, of a fan at some point. You know, just kind of watching the cool stuff happen. So so we were talking, you know, before we kicked this off, you know, obviously Houston went to play, you know, Kansas State, and you didn't travel with them, which really sucks. I was hoping maybe you'd get a chance to connect with them, but have you, you know, do you and Josh stay, you know, relatively connected, you know, now, or how often do you guys kind of still talk?
Yeah, we do. For sure over breaks, especially when we're in Colorado, I meet up and I see him quite a few times out in Colorado, and you know, we've been texting each other all season, you know, about how he's doing. He's out doing that GA with his masters and, you know, staying involved in the game, and obviously I'm down here, and you know, that's a lifelong friendship, and you know, I really value that friendship, and you know, he has some really good advice for me. He's been through this whole season before, and you know, so I would turn to him for some questions, and you know, he'd help me out through it too. So that's a guy I will always hope to talk to.
Absolutely. Well, I've got him on Friday, so I'm hoping I can hear a little bit about you know, what he's doing with the analytics, you know, kind of side of things, and you know, kind of going to that staff, you know, that coaching staff, you know, kind of perspective now a little bit. And now, you know, going from Augie, you know, obviously known for, you know, a high academic standard, you know, kind of low class sizes, to, you know, Houston. I was like, what's the student population of Houston? I looked it up and it was 47,000. And I'm like, that's like the size of Rock Island. academically, I mean, you know, you're now in the master's program. You know, what's been different about being in a master's program and still playing baseball? Like, is there some similarities, you know, to it, or like, how does that demand just kind of work?
Yeah. It's for sure a lot of work. So I actually got lucky. There's a program here that fit all my requirements and everything that was fully online. So I actually, I don't ever really go on campus. I couldn't really tell you what campus looks like, because I do all my homework from my desk here in my room. So I log on every Monday. It goes week by week, so it's fully asynchronous. So I never really have class. I just have assignments, you know, from Monday do each Sunday night. So I go and turn those in, and I try to get done with school the best I can by like Wednesday, Thursday, you know, Friday at the latest. And so I can typically be done by that Wednesday, Thursday. I'll wake up, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and kind of log in and do all my assignments. You know, from here, I'll take my computer to the locker room, and we have some desks and chairs there to, you know, get work done between classes, so guys can do that. And so, you know, it's a lot of time management. And you know, that's something I think I really learned at Augie as well. So something I can apply here, and obviously later down in my life as well.
So is it just a 1 year program then, or what does that length look like for you?
Yeah, so it's just over 1 year. So I actually just finished my first year of it last week. So we're actually on summer break already down here, which is nice. So now it's just baseball. Semester left, so I have three classes. So you know, it's something I'm gonna have to look into about what I potentially do next year. That'll be, you know, a conversation with my family here coming up shortly.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk a little bit of Auggie baseball. You know, since the Vikings just wrapped up their season this past weekend, man, it was a heartbreaking loss on Saturday night. It sucked because I had the breakdown of it, and had to tell the guys like, we didn't make it in this time. So it was a tough one, but as I was thinking a little bit about coming into today, and kind of your last year there, when you were rehabbing, from surgery, you were working with the pitchers and just kind of doing a number of other things, and I would think that would give you kind of a different perspective on the game a little bit. And did you gain kind of a new perspective, not being on the mound and actively pitching all the time, and more like the observant role, the mentor, the coach, type of perspective? Like, what did you kind of take away from that season, which was a little bit different than, ultimately you probably would have ever expected?
Yeah, for sure. Being in that role, first of all, it just, made me realize how blessed and lucky, I am when I am healthy. The health is the best thing you can wish for and hope for. And, that was a first takeaway I had. But secondly, it just made me realize how much I love the game. I wasn't playing, I wasn't pitching, but I still love to go to the field every day and hang out with the guys. And, you realize that being at the field is more about just baseball. It's about, being with all your best friends and your teammates. And, I still talk to those guys, all those seniors, quite a bit. And those are lifelong friends. And I actually came up, I was at Auggie right when my semester ended in the fall. I came up and saw all the guys, and, it was so good. It felt like forever since I had seen those guys, even though, it had been like 6 or 7 months. So, and then in terms of just like coaching and pitching philosophy, just helping some other guys, kind of try to like talk through like what I'm thinking, like in terms of pitch calling, how to read like other hitters, and like what I'm thinking mechanically, what I'm thinking on the mound, and all those things like that. So, just kind of trying to share my thoughts with other people, and then, them sharing it back with me. So I learned just as much from all those other guys as, I hope that they learn from me. And, so it's, two-way street. That's super cool. I love talking baseball, love talking pitching, and, I love the game. So being around it, it was still such a fun year for me.
Absolutely. I mean, when you do think back about, the couple of years here, like what are just some of your, favorite memories that pop up?
Yeah, I mean, there's a ton. It's tough to bring it into a couple. But for sure, those two conference championships, I still remember Cole Green. It was my sophomore year, his freshman year at North Central. We're in the top of the 13th, 14th inning, whatever, going on 5 hours in our game, in a tie game. And, North Central had one of their fifth year at the time, pitching. And, Cole Green was a freshman, hadn't really played all year, and he came up, and I remember watching that ball go over the left field fence, and us go ahead in the top of the, whatever inning we're in. And
yeah, it's 14th. Yep.
14th. Yep. Yeah. I mean, that was if we lost that game, we had the, we hadn't lost yet. So we're playing a doubleheader. We're going to be playing 10 hours of baseball, and, both teams are out of pitching. Like, it was dogfights like that. Like, that was the most fun, dogpiling on that field, and dogpiling at home, winning the conference championship there. Going to two different regionals, like memories like that will for sure never go away. I still go back and watch that video from us, charging the field at home. This, there you go. That's the exact one, actually.
Yeah. This is so cool. And there's Bendo. You see you coming in, here shortly. That was, there you are.
that one bookmark is me on Twitter. I'm positive of it because I go back and watch that all the time.
I love it. Yeah, it's so cool.
That's describable.
I tried to, what's funny is I tried to pull up the 2022 championship win at North Central. Mm-hmm. They took it off. It's down. So you can't even watch it.
I have a couple pictures of us storming the field from
that's that pretty one. Cool.
So those are fun to go look at. So on the field, you know, it's memories like that that are the most fun. And then, you know, off the field, there's tons of memories. And, you know, we still have group chats from, you know, when my class came in, we were, 35 freshmen that COVID year. You know, we were like one of the biggest classes ever. And, you know, we still have a group chat with all 35 guys. And, you know, I see stuff pop up in there and just swipe in, swipe out. But, you know, there's still stuff that gets sent in there, you know, old memories and videos, and we laugh at. You know, but another one that really sticks out to me is we had a team Bible study that we would do. So Jake Irwin started it, actually, my freshman year. He kind of ran it my freshman, sophomore year, and junior year. And then he kind of got caught up in grad school. And then, you know, I started leading that my senior year, the year I was recovering. And then Hayden and Easton, I believe, took it over this last year. So, you know, kind of seeing that, you know, being born my freshman year with Irwin, and then, you know, still going on, we'd meet once a week and just kind of go over stories and, you know, share our faith, and, those memories will last forever. And, you know, that's one thing that I, excuse me, was really grateful for at Augie.
Yeah, some of those, you know, we were talking a lot about it on Saturday night with the parents, and, you know, after the game, but just all the bond, like, you know, these last, you know, 4 or 5 years, you know, of everybody that's been on the team, just how close they are, and, you know, all 35, you know, freshmen that came in your year, just how close you guys still are. Some of the coolest memories, you know, and me just as a, you know, as a fan, you know, calling the game, just kind of observing it, you know, it's like getting a chance just to kind of be a part of all of that and just, you know, watch it unfold has been pretty awesome. And before you jumped on, I was looking through the original like scorebook, when I would, you know, cause I score the games, you know, while I'm going through, so I can kind of keep up with it. And yeah, it's like, oh, you know, it's like you and then Wintrub, you know, then I was, start to, you know, kind of look at the different games and kind of who did what. And it's like.
Everything from clothing to household items are getting more expensive each day. The world of fast fashion has complicated clothing production by outsourcing around the world to whoever can sew them the cheapest. And now you, the consumer, are paying the price with rising costs. American Giant is about keeping things simple and close to home. They aren't affected by tariffs because their products never leave the U.S. So when you buy from American Giant, you're taking a stand for hardworking people, local communities, and quality clothes. American Giant directly supports American manufacturers and ensures you aren't footing that tariff bill. Support American-made tariff-free clothing with American Giant. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off when you use code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.
God, it was, you guys both just dominated, and, you know, it's like, you know, Nate Sammer was in there, you know, he pitched really well.
A lot of
Jacob Rush. God,
that's a great name to bring up.
Jacob Rush, it's like, dirty. You know, what was funny, I just remember that year, in 2020, yes, 2023, because that was Rush's last year, right? Yeah. So, I really wanted for them to play when he was coming out of the bullpen, the Paula Abdul Rush song. And I had been asked, like, we got to do it. And I can't remember who it was that finally played it. And I don't think he had any idea what it was, but it's like, Rush, ooh. Because it's like, it's such a different song for like a walk-up song.
I remember us all in the dugout. None of us knew what were going on. And then like someone heard it and we all started laughing. And it was, that was a funny one.
That was my request. I'd been trying to get that one for, you know, well, for 2 years, essentially. So, yeah, as I was just looking off some of this stuff, like, yeah, it's pretty cool, man. Just kind of going back and reminiscing all the great stuff. And, you know, the seniors in fifth years this year got me a ball, and that was, you know, it's already, you know, in its little, already in its little case here, you know?
Yeah, so cool.
Just so cool, man. So cool. I mean, I become a little bit of a fan just sitting back and watching it all. You got to live it all. So yeah, that's freaking even better.
Augie gave me a ton from that. And, you know, I got to play 2 years of college baseball with my brother, you know, and be there for him and the roommates that I had. And, you know, I'll be forever grateful for the relationships that I was able to build there.
Yeah, that's even cooler. And I think about my two boys. I mean, they're only 19 months apart, you know, so there could be an opportunity, you know, if they're playing the same sport, you know, they could play on the varsity team together. And I mean, let's talk about that, because, you know, that wasn't something I had down, but now we're thinking about it. Like, what was it like to play with Hayden, you know, your younger brother, getting a chance to do that, you know, sharing, because I'm assuming, right, that it would take the brotherly relationship to kind of a whole new level, you know, because you're experiencing life away from home together, a lot of different situations. Like, just kind of talk to me a little bit about, you know, the time you spent with Hayden.
I'll be forever grateful. You know, he's awesome. You know, I love him. And obviously we were close at home, but being at Augie together was such a blessing. And it was so cool to do. And, you know, I got to spend an extra year with him there. You know, once I got injured and came back for that senior year. And, I mean, it was the coolest thing in the world. He'd come over and have dinner, and, you know, I'd take him places. I kind of got to show him the ropes around the Quad Cities, 'cause I'd already been there for 2 years. So, I couldn't ask for anything better. I remember when he was getting recruited, you know, he's looking at a couple different schools, and some down south, excuse me, some out east, and, you know, another two in the conference. And I would, like, whenever we played those teams that were recruiting him in the conference, you know, I'd be like, oh, hey, look, here's a score last time we played them. Like, you need to come to the winning side here at Augie. So it was something super fun. And, you know, I'm forever grateful he chose Augie.
That's pretty awesome. You know, so when you're showing him the ropes, like, what were some of the places you took him? Like, did you have any good, you know, like, some of your favorite spots, like, food wise, you know, in the QC area?
Favorite spots food wise. I mean, for sure, Harris Pizza. Harris Pizza was always good. In the dorms, we'd take our dressers that would go under the bed, and we'd put them in the middle of the room. And we'd create a little, like, family table, and we'd go and get Harris Pizza and then come back and excuse me, come back and eat all together. And so Harris Pizza was one. You know, a couple other hiking in Colorado, we're big hikers too, so kind of the closest thing we would have, you know, is I can kind of go walk around right on the Mississippi and around and, you know, talk through things. And that was another spot we'd like to go.
Well, let's talk a little bit of Colorado. You know, because I don't even think you knew this, right, until I text you it, but it's like I lived in Colorado from 2007 to 2014, so just, gosh, 2 years after I graduated from Augie, on a whim, took a job in Denver. You know, and it's one of the best, you know, 7.5, you know, years of my life out there. And so it holds a pretty special place with me. But, you know, every time I think about Colorado, I think about Denver. One of my favorite places to go eat. So I want your take on this. Snooze AM Eatery.
One of the biggest. Go at like 8. If you're later than 8 on a Saturday, you're going to be waiting for 2 hours.
Yep. That was one of my favorite places. You know, and they had the one down, right downtown by, Coors Field, like off 20th Street originally. Now they've expanded all over. But kind of where does that rank in your breakfast spots out in Colorado? Or is there someone else, somewhere else I should be going when I go back out?
In terms of like chains, it would be all over. That's pretty high. There's a little diner right down by my house, and you know, it's just a one-off spot down in Aurora called Doug's Day Diner. And that place, like, you can't beat it. Other than that, you know, I eat breakfast at home quite a lot. You know, I'm a big I'll wake up, make some eggs and bacon and pancakes and too locked in on all the breakfast spots.
Yeah.
Those are the top two in my opinion.
Well, I'll have to go try that diner place. I'll drive anywhere for some good food or just to try something out. And
I remember that's a place you order a couple pancakes and they come out and they're giant. the proportions there, like you get a big breakfast.
Well, I'm gonna have to make my way down there and check it out when I'm back. And I mean, because I go literally absolutely everywhere when I'm over there, and it doesn't bother me. Worst case, I'll jump on E-470 and I'll go from, you know, down by Parker up to Boulder and go do all that stuff. But there was a spot in Arvada that I would always stop when I worked at Coors. It was called Big Mama's Burritos, and it was like an old chuck wagon. And it's since they closed down, I think 4 or 5 years ago now. But same thing, you'd go through and you would get this like monster breakfast burrito, and it was, you know, size of your head for, you know, pretty decent price. But I had to actually have my Denver glass my wife bought me with some Stranahan's single malt whiskey for tonight's occasion. So I'm like, oh, well, we got to rep a little Colorado tonight.
There we go.
So being from Colorado, you know, you're a big Rockies fan. So growing up, like, who were some of the, just kind of the favorite players, you know, that you grew up kind of idolizing or,
For sure. Troy, you know, kind of franchise player back then. Gonzalez, you know, I kind of grew up watching them. Ubaldo Jimenez, you know, he was our pitcher back then. And those are kind of the big three growing up. Obviously, Nolan Arenado, he was really fun to watch. You know, back in the glory days of the Rockies, so we're in a little bit of a tougher spot now. So it was more fun a couple years ago when there'd be that back and forth from the game, because you know, a lot of Cub fans out there, and now it's a one-way street. So
yep,
they're looking a little bit better than we are.
Yeah, when I was looking at, because I moved out there in 2007, and you know, so I grew up a, you know, semi Cubs fan. You know, I enjoyed watching him. Like, I was a big Griffey fan, so I was really more of like a fan of him than anything. He really is what got me into baseball. But you know, enjoyed the Cubs, like watching them. But you know, when I got out there, it was in June of 2007, and I went to 30 some games because I was a single guy. Rock pile tickets were like 10, 12 bucks. Now they're like 25 or something like that. But as I was going through, and I was just trying to remember like all the cool things. So like, obviously they had Rocktober, and that was like, they won like 21, 22 games in a row. You know, and that was awesome. You know, the Padres tiebreaker, they swept the Phillies, and then, you know, swept the Diamondbacks.
The way of the World Series.
Oh, dude, it was so cool. You know, as I was looking at it, it's like, yeah, you know, like some of the names that stuck out to me was like, you know, LaTroy Hawkins. Obviously, Todd Helton was on that. Tula was on it. Ryan Spielberg, I think he was out in what, right field. Holiday was out there.
Spielberg is on a lot of the broadcasts nowadays. He does a lot with that still, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Chris Iannetta, you know, was another one. Obviously, you had Ubaldo. That team was so much fun. And I was going back and I was like, I was trying to remember all the different things that I had seen. So I saw Cargo hit for the cycle that July 2010 game. That was freaking amazing. Obviously Rocktober was a ton of fun, but there's a game that just, it's burned into my memory. It was a Tuesday night game and the Cardinals were there. And, have you ever seen the Rick Ankiel plays that he had?
I don't think so.
So I worked down off of like Colorado Boulevard and I-25, south of like Cherry Creek area. So I would drive home real quick. I lived off of 13th and Spear, right downtown. And I would, you know, walk up, I would take the, walk down the, the mall kind of area and then head on up. And, I remember I was there, got to this game, and I usually like hung out. I get a Rock Pile ticket, but I rarely ever sat in the Rock Pile. I would usually go and post up over the bullpen, you know, cause it's the same seats, but you get to see everyone. And I remember, you know, Rick Ankiel, he was for the Cardinals, and it was like, you know, pitcher turned center fielder. The arm strength of this guy, not only did he do it once, but he did it twice in a game. So here we'll watch the Rick Ankiel play, because if you hadn't seen this yet, it's freaking amazing. This is like literally burned in my memory.
Playable for Ankiel. Tavares will tag. And Rick's got a great
I remember that.
Rick Ankiel, who used to throw in the upper 90s as a pitcher, just threw a strike.
I was standing at the rock, or standing over at the dugout. The dugout area when that happened.
And it wasn't that close.
But then he did it again.
Drive left center field. This one will be extra bases for Quintanilla. Here comes that throw from Ankiel. He got him. Another one.
Mike.
Rick Ankiel.
And I know it was for the
second outfield assist of the night. Both on the fly. Both over 200 feet.
Yeah. Like, I know it was the wrong team. My Lord. Like, those plays were like burnt in me for my time out there. So much fun. So much fun.
Yeah, I mean, that's an impressive play. Either way, wrong team, but got to recognize the game.
What did you have any good fun memories, like, you know, going to the games or just kind of watching the Rockies growing up?
One of my favorite memories, so growing up, my parents would tell us if we got good grades, they would always surprise us with one random day in the spring, they'd come and pull us out of school in the middle of the day without telling us, and we'd go to a 1 o'clock start at for a Rockies game, you know. So we'd get to leave school early and go to the Rockies game. So that was always, you know, we're getting towards the end of the school year, we'd be kind of looking forward to that. So that was always one of my favorites. But the other memory that's just clear in my mind, it was Nolan Arenado. He hit a walk-off home run on Father's Day for the cycle to complete the cycle.
Oh, yeah.
So that I remember I was watching that game in my basement, and I was sitting there right on my couch and talking to Hayden, and I was like, hey, if he hits a walk-off home run here, you know, it'd be the cycle, just kind of joking around. And then right as we say that, you know, hits it to left field. Nice. I mean, that I can watch that clip up in my head, you know, whenever I want. That's like just such a engraved memory. And, you know, there's some pretty famous pictures. He has blood coming down from his eye, like, you know, as he's screaming and celebrating. And he's got it's the pinstripes, but the baby blue Rockies lettering for Father's Day. And so that's another big one.
God, that was what, 2017, I think?
It was around then. I was older. You know, it's not like I was a young kid at that point, but
yeah. That's pretty cool.
It still feels
That's
like pretty a cool. long time ago, so.
Oh man, it does. Well, you know, I'm excited. You know, I ordered my my retro Houston Cougars baseball shirt. So I've got that coming. I'll probably have my wife. She has one of the Crickets, and she, you know, she can make up some iron-ons. So I might see if she can do a little you know, put your number on, throw your name on it, you know, on the back, and make a little one-off. Yeah, so, cool. It's funny. I bought one for Wintraub, from the K-State one, and you know, she's like, "Oh, who's this?" You know, she never goes to anything Augie, and but she wears it probably more than I do now. So,
yeah,
I was like, I probably should have.
I got my Wintraub shirt hanging in my closet, but I can't wear it with the BNO. K-State anymore. That's me now.
Yeah.
So I just need to take everything off except for Wintraub's face on there.
Well, I made I made that Mayfield Miracle shirt for Chase and then so yeah, he sent me a Valpo shirt. So I've got one of those too. I'm like, well, I gotta get a Houston one. So I felt pretty bad going into today and I hadn't had it so I could wear it. You know, for this, but you know, I spent half my morning, you know, kind of going back and forth via email with Houston to make sure I can put the logo up there. So
gotcha.
All's good in the world.
There we go.
Well, to wrap things up, man. You know, lastly, just, you know, if there's anyone like, you know, in particular, you know, you'd like to thank family, friends, shout outs, anything you'd like to make, you know, while you're on here, floor is all yours for as much time as you want.
Yeah, well, I mean, for sure. First of all, I just want to thank my family, you know, especially my parents. Like, I can't even imagine how much time they spent, you know, driving me to games and, you know, from T-ball to high school ball, you know, the amount of time sitting in bleachers and lawn chairs, you know, cheering me on and being my biggest supporters, and the amount of money spent on, you know, equipments and, you know, uniforms, travel ball fees to, you know, go play, you know, when I'm 12 years old out in Cooperstown, New York, and, you know, all across the country, you know, it's just such a blessing to have such supportive parents that, you know, have put me through all this and, you know, they've made me to who I am today and allowed me to do all that. So, you know, I wouldn't be anywhere close to this, where I am today without them. So I want to thank them, you know, and then I just want to shout out all those other seniors. You know, I miss them, and playing with them was such a blessing. And, you know, being with them, those 4 years were like some of the best 4 years of my life, you know, and I'll forever cherish those memories and living with them and playing with them and, you know, being the team to win two conference championships. And I think that team, we have the most single season wins, don't we?
Yeah, 39-9. Yep.
Yeah, so, you know, we've set records together, and that's something I'll just, you know, forever be grateful for, and that's a season I'll never forget.
Yeah, it was man, it was so much fun to be a part of it. You know, every home game I got to call, you know, every pitch, every strikeout. Man, every win, it was a ton of fun. So, you know, so thank you, you know, for giving us, you know, a lot of those memories as well. And, you know, it was a ton of fun to be a part of. And then, you know, again, thanks again tonight for taking some time, you know, Harry, to get out of your busy, you know, busy schedule here. You know, you probably have stuff to do for school. So, you know, you let me steal about an hour of your time. So I certainly appreciate that. But, well, hopefully you'll get a chance to play. You said A&M tomorrow. And, if all goes well, so I'll, hopefully I can pull that one up. I think they're usually on ESPN Plus whenever I can get a chance to watch them. So
they should be. So hopefully we're hoping it doesn't rain. It's looking like it tomorrow. So hopefully the weatherman's wrong there.
Absolutely. Well, Harry, it's great to talk to you. Great to catch up again. You know, glad to see things are going really well for you. Obviously, I'll always wish you the best of luck, you know, in any and everything you ever do, man. So, love to see you having some success and doing it somewhere else. But again, we'll definitely stay connected. And other than that, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. Thank you for what you do.
Everything from clothing to household items are getting more expensive each day. The world of fast fashion has complicated clothing production by shipping cheap parts around the world to whoever can sew them the cheapest. And now you, the consumer, are paying the price with rising costs. American Giant is about keeping things simple and close to home. They aren't affected by tariffs because their products never leave the U.S. Skip the tariff and snag yourself American-made clothing with American Giant. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off when you use code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.